John 6:22 and following. I want to read that. You follow along in your Bible as I read. After this incident we read just moments ago of Christ walking on the water, we read in verse 22 and following, "The next day the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias, near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the multitude therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for on him the Father, even God, has set his seal.' They said therefore to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.' They said therefore to him, 'What then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?' 'Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat.' Jesus therefore said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world.' They said therefore to him, 'Lord, evermore, give us this bread.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet have not, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. For this is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Let's pray. Father, give us grace, we pray. Feed us on the true manna, the true bread from heaven, we ask. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're beginning a short series this morning on the bread of God, the true bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, three sections in John chapter 6. And we're going to wind this up with a celebration of the Lord's Supper. And so this is one of the reasons that I'm interested in our looking at this particular passage of Scripture. We are looking at feasting on God's bread of life. And as we do so, I'm looking at this text which I've just read, John chapter 6, verses 22 through 40. It's a little bit longer portion of Scripture that we sometimes look at, but I'm dividing it into three parts as it's given to us in our outline. And this is perhaps a little bit arbitrary because we could divide it in several different ways, it seems to me. But I'm first saying to us in the first point that Jesus is laying before us this simple proposition. Do not work for the food that perishes. Don't do that. And that's in verses 22 through 27. The response to this is, Jesus, don't be ridiculous. We've really got to work for these tangible physical things. We really do have to work for those things. Jesus responds in the third part, that second part being verses 28 through 31. Jesus responds finally in the third part, God's bread, you say, comes from heaven and gives life. You think that you get life from the physical and tangible things in this world. But ultimately, it's from the bread that comes from heaven that you genuinely receive life. So we're going to break the text down in that fashion and look at it and simply go through this text verse by verse in our study this morning. So let's look at it. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. Let's read verses 22 and 23 again. The next day, the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but rather that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias, near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. The people are initially at the north end of the Sea of Galilee. On the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee is the city of Capernaum. And that was the headquarters for the Galilean ministry of the Lord Jesus. And a few miles to the east, on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus had gathered with a large multitude of people and fed 5,000. Subsequently, he walks on the water. And the disciples see this, and of course they're quite astounded that this is the case. And this is the situation we find ourselves in. The disciples, or a multitude, come to this area where Jesus had fed the 5,000, and they're looking for Jesus. And Jesus, in the meantime, it says in verse 15, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountains by himself. So Jesus withdraws, the people come, Jesus walks on the water and meets the disciples, and boom, they're in Capernaum. Now, these people are looking for Jesus. Some boats come from Tiberias, another city on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. And they're also looking for Jesus. And the whole group then goes to Capernaum. And that's kind of the situation in which we find ourselves. Let's look at verses 24 and 25. When the multitudes therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? An amazing scene. Here they are. Now they come to Capernaum and they find Jesus. Of course, they're looking for him, and the text tells us very specifically that they're seeking for Jesus. And of course, they're seeking Jesus really for the wrong reasons. That's part of the point. They're interested in food, physical food, and Jesus points this out to these individuals. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, all right, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Jesus realizes that this multitude is seeking him, but not for proper motives, only because they ate and were filled. Oh yeah, they saw the signs. This is very interesting. Very often people saw the signs which indicated that Jesus Christ truly was and is God. Turn back in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 2 and verse 11. John 2:11. This beginning of His signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. Here was the first sign that Jesus did. He turned the water into wine at this wedding. Jesus was no dour individual. He enjoyed a wedding, and He ensured that others would enjoy the wedding also. And when the wine ran out, He turned the water into wine. And this was a sign of His power that He was truly the Messiah. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verses 5 through 9. Here is another amazing incident. And a certain man, John 5:5, and a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. Here's a guy, 38 years in his sickness. A lot of people in this auditorium this morning are not quite that old. And this fellow, 38 years in his sickness. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, He said to him, "Do you wish to be well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool where the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. A miracle! 38 years, well known that this fellow was paralyzed, and Jesus raised him up. Another sign. John chapter 6. We've spoken of this. Let's read it. John 6, verse 10. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in this place. So the men sat down in a number about 5,000. This is no small multitude. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, He distributed to those who were seated. Likewise also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, He said to the disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign which He had performed, they said, "This is a true prophet who has come into the world." They saw the signs. Jesus says, "You came to seek me out, not because you saw the signs." Well, they saw the signs outwardly, but they didn't understand what those signs meant. Not really. Because those signs pointed to the fact that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. John chapter 6, again, and verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Verse 27. "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Thank you, folks. You've got your priorities wrong. You're out for tangible goodies. You're out for the physical stuff. Cars and houses, etc., etc., etc. You're not concerned about the proper things. Don't work for the food which perishes. The same word Jesus uses in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." To perish means to lose life with God. Don't work for that which perishes, which fades away. Work for that, Jesus says, which is eternal. Eternity looms large in the thinking of Jesus. It's too bad in our society, in our culture today, that eternity does not loom large as it does in the thinking of Jesus. This life, folks, is short. It really is. I often wondered when I was younger and looked at my dad, who was my age, and I wondered about those intervening years, and now I'm looking back at those intervening years and thinking to myself, it sure did fly by pretty quick. And that is true. Eternity is not going to fly by quickly. And Jesus is pointing us in that direction. And when Jesus lays so much emphasis on the eternal and tries to divert our attention from focus on the temporal and the physical, you know what we say? Give me a break, Jesus. As I put it in the outline, don't be ridiculous, Jesus. Why do you think I'm in school? Why do you think I got the education? Why do you think I'm working on this farm the way I am? Don't be ridiculous, Jesus. Let's see what the text has to say. Verse 28. They said therefore to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? You know what they were thinking to themselves? Look, the works of God are the external things that I do. And if I rack up enough good things, God is going to be gracious to me in the end. There's no reason why He should deny me a place in His heaven. After all, I've lived a pretty good life. I haven't done the very bad things, correct? What is the response of Jesus? Verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. What is the work of God? The work of God is not external so much as it is internal. The work of God is that you believe in this Jesus. That's the work of God. And it's interesting the way Jesus puts it. It's the work of God that you have faith in Jesus. In other words, it's God Himself who provides that faith. It's not a faith that you work up yourself. It's the gift of God, lest no one should boast. That's one of the points that Jesus is making here. Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent. Verse 30, they said therefore to Him, what then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? This is absolutely incredible. Give us a sign, Jesus. You know, they've just been there and they've watched this Jesus feed 5,000 men plus their families with these pitifully few loaves of bread and a few fishes. They've seen this miracle. And yet they didn't see it, right? And now they're asking for a sign? You know, Jesus would be responding in a sense, give me a break here. He would be the one who would be saying that. Verse 31. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Wait a minute, Jesus. Don't you realize you're coming here now and saying these things that we ought to believe in you, and you're not even willing to give us a sign? Don't you realize that we're of the people who are descended from Moses? And don't you realize that Moses was the one who gave our ancestors bread from heaven in the wilderness? Don't you realize that that's the case? Haven't you read your Bible, Jesus? Don't you know what's going on here? We don't need your help. That's what they said. Unfortunately, too many of us are in the same boat with these individuals and are saying, we don't need your help either, Jesus. Don't you realize that I have a perfectly good income and that I can take care of myself? Don't you understand that that's the case? You see, the emphasis again is on the physical, the tangible, the outward. And Jesus is attempting to change the focus dramatically. Verses 32 through 40. God's bread comes from heaven and gives life to the world. This is what Jesus is getting at. Verse 32. Jesus, therefore, said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven." You say, it's not Moses who gave your ancestors that bread. It was God who gave your ancestors that bread. And God today is giving you the true bread that comes out of heaven. That manna that was given in the wilderness a long time ago was simply a picture of the life that God gives through His bread from heaven. And you have standing before you now the true bread from heaven. The bread which that manna of old pointed to. This is what Jesus is getting at. Verse 33. "For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." We're talking now about the bread of God. Not bread that you manufacture in this world. But the bread that comes down out of heaven and really does give life. It's an amazing thing that the Bible and Jesus uses this likeness of bread. It really is. Because the staff of life is that bread. And Jesus is telling us that everything is wrapped up in Him. Verse 34. "They said therefore to Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." Ah, you've got bread? Give it to us. You see? They still don't have it right. Give us this bread. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." See, this is the struggle. Back and forth. The true bread which comes down from heaven is the bread of God. And that bread gives life. Give us that bread. "I'm the bread," Jesus says. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst." Come to me, Jesus says. But you sought me. Not properly, not because you really saw the signs and understood who I am, but you came because your bellies were filled. That's why you came. Now I'm saying to you, I am the bread of heaven. Come to me. There's a big difference. Sometimes, folks, you know what happens? Is that we come to church, we come to a worship service like this, and we are really not interested in coming to Jesus. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Trust in me, Jesus is saying. And the invitation is clear. This is what's happening in our text. And I want to tell you something. This is what's happening right now in this place. In this auditorium, Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life. You want life? You have to come to me." That's what Jesus is saying to you and me. Verse 36, "But I said to you, you have seen me and yet do not believe." What's happening here? You've seen me. And you've seen the signs, but yet you do not believe in me. You see, this can happen to us. Exactly the same thing. We can read the Bible. We can see what happens in the stories and in the narratives concerning Jesus. And we can understand all of these stories. And we can get it in our heads. But never really trust this Jesus with our lives. Verse 36 again. "But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." I want you to hear this, folks. Jesus says, You've seen me, but you do not believe. And then he says in verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. God is in the process right now in this world of taking people out of the world and giving them to Jesus Christ. And when God the Father gives those people to Jesus Christ, they believe in Him. They trust this Jesus and they follow this Jesus. This is what verse 37 is telling us. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. There is where we find our security. There is where we find our health. There is where we find the firm foundation for this life. Verse 37 again, but all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Why is it that Jesus receives every individual whom the Father gives Him? Because Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Jesus did not come to do His own will. Jesus came to perform the will of the Father and be totally submissive to the Father. And therefore, when this Jesus embraces people like us, and when we are embraced by this Jesus, there is total security given to us. I will certainly not cast this individual out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that He has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. Every individual whom the Father gives to Jesus Christ, and whom in turn embraces Jesus Christ with full faith, Jesus Christ will raise up at the last day. In other words, this relationship involves the resurrection of the dead, the great hope of the Christian. You do realize that that is the great hope of the Christian, don't you? That Jesus Christ will come a second time in glory, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, will be raised and changed. How glorious that will be. The bodily resurrection of the dead is the great hope of the Christian. And when the dead are raised incorruptible, there will be a reuniting of all individuals who embrace Jesus Christ by faith. And I know some of you are looking forward to that. Some of you more than others. And it will be a glorious time. Verse 39, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that of all that He has given me I lose nothing, but I raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Everyone who beholds the Son. You see, the problem with this multitude was this. They beheld the Son, and they saw the miracles, and they didn't recognize who this Jesus was. They had to believe in Him. They had to trust in Him. And this is what Jesus is finally telling us in verse 44. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Oh, friends, Jesus is the true bread that has come down from heaven to give life. Do you trust in this Jesus? Do you really trust your life with this Jesus? Again, the Savior says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that invitation, dear friends, is given to every person who is weary and heavy laden with the burdens of the sins of this life. And Jesus says, come to me, and those burdens will be lifted, and you will have life eternal. Come to Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. And partake of the true bread from heaven, the bread of life. Where are you today? Some of you have heard that message many times before. And I wonder, if that faith is in you, that is necessary. Is it? Let's pray. Father, here we are before you. And I pray, O God, that you'd be pleased to work that faith in us that our Lord Jesus speaks of, that we may fully embrace Him and partake of this bread of life. Work that faith in us all, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.